Hi, this is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Punk.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. Live with all your faults. I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all.
Got a call from the gunner while I was flying yesterday. Called him back, got no answer. Okay, normally that means he's not going to be with us, so we'll see. And I know it's kind of towards the end of his Botox event, so life gets a little bit difficult. Maybe he's getting his shots today. Who knows? So we'll see if he calls back. So, anywho, we continue. Vacaville man just sent me a picture of Dinty Moore beef stew. It says no preservatives in it. Right. They're not preservatives. Salt in that dosage? It's just a seasoning. Hello. My Kathleen was never big on Dinty Moore beef stew. We never had that out of the can. She would make stew in the Dutch oven. Yeah, she'd be cut up chunks of meat, quarter potatoes, big carrots, and then good gravy. Kathleen was pretty, she could crush gravy. And so you could put like goat's feet in there. As long as it's good gravy, like, what's this tough stuff, Mom? Shut up and eat it. It's good for you. All right. The gravy's the key. Just like, you know that when you're doing Thanksgiving dinner. Like, the turkey could be a little well done. It could be a little rare. As long as you have enough gravy to pour over that and the mashed potatoes. Some people like it on stuffing or dressing, whichever you prefer to call it. It'll work. The Dinty Moore beef stew. Yeah, Kathleen's, I'm telling you, my mom could cook. And the beautiful part of her recipes is that they're not very difficult, but they crush it. Like, she makes pot roast. The pot roast from the gravy from my mom's pot roast, you would lose your mind. It just tastes great. Tastes great. And I think the secret to that is a little bit of brown sugar. If I'm not mistaken. Which is a secret to a lot of things, brown sugar. Get a little sweet in there. Another email. Mac, what's the verdict? Are we watching the NFL or not? Negatory. At least I'm not. You're big people. You can make your own decision. But, Yeah, I'm not good with it. And let me tell you what blows me away about it. Is they've had a year to unscrew this stuff. And they still can't do it. It's like, are you kidding me? Come on, boys and girls. Get your shit together. And to make it even worse, and this is, okay, so you're the NFL. You have a year after last year ends, right? Your ratings have gone down. I think they went down 9 or 10%. And that's like the second consecutive year. Okay, so now we get together in the big business meeting. Okay, man, we got to make this go away. We've got to make football night in America. We've got to make Sundays when the NFL rolls. We got to make that about football, about our product. We got to get out of this debate, all right? And then when we get out of the debate, what we got to do is we got to showcase what our players are doing in communities. So let's help. Let's do it. How do we do this? How do we do it? So needless to say, they can't do it because okay, if you're sitting in a meeting, here's what you got to say. Okay, look, we have an entire off season to get this right. All right? This is important stuff. Okay, so what we don't want to have happen when our exhibition games roll out next August 8th is players kneeling on the field, pictures of them all over ESPN, all over the news, and the president blowing it up on Twitter. Okay, we can't have that. So we've got to get to work now so that doesn't happen, okay? And we've got to do whatever it takes to get the focus on football, right? What do you think the pictures are? What do you think the stories are today? Right? Top story on ESPN right now. Trump to players. Find another way to protest. Number two story. Two Dolphin receivers kneel. NFL issues a statement. So exactly the thing that you know that got discussed by those the very, very successful people. And look, here's the message we've got to take to our players. We need your help. Okay? We need your help. We'll go the extra mile relative to airing. Oh, the Prince. Joining us now, Michael Musselman. What's up, Gunner?
What's going on, man? Sorry.
No, I thought you was, I didn't know where we were relative to your Botox thing. I missed your call yesterday, and I thought, you know what? I know it's kind of getting near that time. He may not be joining us. So what a surprise, the Prince of All Marine Radio. What's up? Hello?
Yeah, I had the Botox yesterday.
Are you feeling better, or what?
Oh, yeah, so great. I mean, yesterday I was just sleeping most of the time after the shot.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good. Now, so what are we going to see, Mike? Last time when you got the Botox shots, you thought they weren't as effective because you had a migraine when you got them? So.
Yeah, this time, no migraine.
No migraine.
So, I was fine.
All right. Email. Mac, did the Gunner eat TV dinners? If so, what was his favorite? I bet he did.
Yes. I loved TV dinners.
What was your go-to?
My favorite?
Yeah.
My go-to, probably the Salisbury steak.
We already talked. That was numbers. That was my backup. My primary was fried chicken.
Yeah, no, I go with you. Fried chicken, Salisbury steak. I want to say beans and Franks, but that was probably an MRE.
Oh, yeah, it's probably an MRE. You're getting those culinary experiences confused. What do you think they put in the skin in order to freeze it to last forever to make it taste so good? Because the skin on that fried chicken was awesome.
Oh, it was, man, Swanson. Fuck. I forgot about those, man. I'm trying to think of another one. Fried chicken, Salisbury steak.
Turkey. Turkey with mashed potatoes and gravy.
Oh, yeah. That was good, too.
And then they got some Fat Man.
Something?
Yeah, they got some Fat Man in the product development area of Swanson's. And he said, you know, I love these TV dinners. They're too small. And they're like, let's create the Hungry Man.
Yep.
The Hungry Man.
Oh, you bring back good memories. I don't even know if they make those anymore.
Do they?
I'm going to tell the wife today I'm going to get some TV dinners. Watch her look at me like, what?
What? And then, Mike, not only that, but then eat them on TV trays, like watching TV. It was a big night in the McNamara house. I'm not going to lie to you. Not going to lie.
That was, no, that I think that's a ritual that everybody went through.
Think about that. How many times as a kid did you go out to dinner in a month?
Oh, in a month? Like two times.
Maybe, right? Fast food wasn't invented.
Yeah. No. No. Well, that's not true. Well, I should say, you know, I can't remember. Yeah, it was probably KFC. You know, the mom would come home with the bucket of chicken.
Right. I love KFC.
Yeah. KFC in the big bucket.
Yes. Might be ripping skin off of that, pulling legs and everything out of that. Mac just shoving it down like he's on death row. Hey, I'd never met Bob Nielsen, right? So I met him at Bethesda, Walter Reed Bethesda. Mike, so he takes me down to the physical therapy area. I met a former Marine and a soldier who were both, the Marine's a quad amp and the soldier's a double arm amp. Both had received arm transplants.
Arm transplants?
That's what I said. What? Arm transplants. And so they were there doing physical therapy with their new arms. Unbelievable to watch. And stand there and talk to them. You know, cause they were both in Afghanistan around the time you and I were there. And, the Marine had served in 3-1 in Iraq. And so, and then you talk to him like, well, did you ever? No, I never thought. When they came to me with the idea, I was like, what? I had the same voice that you used. But the doctors, do you remember that we were talking about the genital transplant, the lower pelvis transplant? Same doctors, that are doing that, did this. And, they say the nerves regenerate about an inch every month. They have more and more feeling in the arm. And at some point.
That's incredible.
Oh, Mike, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. The other one was a sergeant major that had been, that lost the leg. He was above the knee amp. And, he was on kind of, you know, those half balls that have the, hard plastic and you stand on it and you balance yourself? Those things?
Yeah.
So he was standing on one of those. So Bob introduces him. And Bob knows all, right? Bob's there, like, I don't know how many times a week, but, Bob's one of those angels, right? He's like a medicine man. You know, these guys came back and Nielsen talking about, hey, why don't you start a construction company? What? Yeah, you can do it. What are you talking about? He's one of those guys that opens up doors, and that's why Bob's a special guy. But anyway, we walk up to Sergeant Major, and Sergeant Major, Bob says, yeah, he was shot in the face. And I look at his face, I'm like, no. And he says, what would you say if I told you I had a round ricochet off the charging handle on my M4, hit me in just above my, just below my nose, right center below my nose, knocked out 7 teeth, I lost a third of my tongue, blah, 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 blah. And I looked at him and said, I'd say that you're making up a big story because you want attention. And he starts laughing. He says, exactly. But he, you know, the technology where you put a screw into your mouth and you put a permanent tooth in there? They're using that now on legs where they screw it into the bone and then they let the bone grow around it, and they attach the prosthetic device to that thing, that metal device that's sticking out of your knee, but your bone. And so there's none of that skin irritation and slippage or anything like that. And the other thing is your bone doesn't experience osteoporosis because it's being used again. And he's just like, this, it's awesome. I got to learn how to use it better. But yeah, I don't have any of the discomfort and all the rest of that stuff I used to feel. And then while I was there, a guy that was in the Navy was running around for the first time since he had his leg, both of his legs amputated, running around the physical therapy track.
Yeah.
Looked like a little kid on when he comes down the corner and sees a Christmas tree. Just fired up, and all the therapists stand there watching and laughing and high-fiving. Just a pretty cool, the last 2 weeks for me have been one great experience. You know, I told everybody, you know, again, what a great place Granbury is, to all of our friends in North Carolina, up to hang out with my son and my daughter-in-law and my grandson, and then to meet Bob. I'd never met him before in person. And then to see all this stuff that's going on, that's just really awesome. So, awesome trip for me. So, anyway, being home is nice, though.
Oh, it's cool, man. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah, double arm transplant. I was like, what? And then I'll very quickly tell you a story. We had lunch with Pat and Patty Horan. Pat's gunshot wound to the head guy. And he sent me a message. Hey, Mac, you want me to bring my 3D skull that they made for me? I said, yeah, I'd love to see it. So we're having lunch, talking to him and his wife, Patty. Patty tells a story about they had gone and spoken someplace. She has the skull. They're walking out. And she drops it. And it shatters. And she's like, his skull's in like 100 pieces. And he said, and I think what Pat said was, you know, when my brain doesn't always work right. And I was so mad I couldn't talk. And Patty looks and she's like, it was horrible. I knew we were going to get a divorce right then. And so I said, hey, this is a sign. This is part of our past, not part of our future. I said, how'd that go over? She said, not well. And Pat, it was funny because he said, he said, I'm attached to my skull. You know, some guys don't, like, they don't see it as part of them. I see it as part of me. And so the cleaning lady put a hat on it one day, and I told her, man, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't mess with my skull. And he said, some guys put, like, a light in it and candy in it on Halloween. He said, I don't do that either. But, oh, my God, the story she told about dropping it and it shattered, they took all the pieces and somebody glued it all back together. Which is the skull that I saw yesterday. But it's complete with the part of his skull that they took off, and then they put like a ceramic piece over it, and they use putty to keep it in place. And so the stories are unbelievable, and but really cool, really cool. And in fact, your name came up. She was talking about if you can believe this, Mike, there's no class. Like, if your husband, you know, gets shot in the head and now you're going to deal with this for a long time, there's no class that you go to, like an orientation that says, hey, this is what active duty is going to do to you. This is where active duty leaves off. This is where the VA picks up. These are the disability categories. You'll see the schedule associated with each one. Being a paraplegic is here, blah, 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 blah. She said, you learn it all on your own. And I said to her, and you're an officer's wife. Imagine, she said, exactly. Imagine a PFC's wife that goes through this. And so I looked at Bob.
I didn't come up then.
Well, because you're the one that talks about when you go to the VA and they start jacking with you. I mean, you've been around, right? You don't take their bullshit. But one of the things you consistently say.
Well, I know the system.
Right. One of the things that you consistently say, though, is, what does a Lance Corporal do? Say, okay, and walk out?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I looked at Bob and I said, Bob, we know people, right? We know the chairman, and we need to, there should be an orientation class, hello? And then there should be some kind of mentorship program where if that happened to me and I was a sergeant, corporal, PFC or whatever, I would get a mentor like Patty Horan, who'd already gone down that road, because she set up his whole, because every brain injury is unique.
And right, they're all different. Yeah.
They're all different. And so who researches and does all that stuff to find out where you're going to go? The DOD sure as hell doesn't, which seems a bit crazy to me. And so, I mean, to have a mentor to help walk you through that. So I told Nilsen, I said, hey, we got to do that. So anyway, but your name came.
Well, what needs to happen really is the chairman should put together a no kidding, unbiased panel of veterans that have been out at all different degrees of injuries instead of relying on the VA to do, because the VA does these panels to figure out what they could do better. And the guys they get are all VA yes men, you know, like, oh, you guys are great. You guys are doing wonderful. Don't change a thing. Because then probably afterwards they get jobs in the VA. But if you read these VA investigative panels and you're like, who the fuck are they talking to?
Right.
You know, you had an okay experience because you had ran into a good guy. But that is not the case. You know, I have yet to talk to a guy in anywhere in Texas, buddies of mine that I run into or talk to, that go, oh, Mike, hey, let me tell you, the VA, oh, the bee's knees. You know, they are where it's at. They don't need to change a thing. No. You know, but what I talk to is, you know, you talk to health professionals. They're like, you know, I wish, you know, they're like, I wish you wouldn't have to pay. I don't understand why you have to pay for this. This is, we owe you this for you, for what you did. And I'm, you know, like, oh, no, it's okay, you know. But they deal with the VA, private health officials, and they do the same thing. Like, oh, the worst, you know.
You know, one thing Patty said was that she said to guys in, and again, just remember, what these families do, they do it on active duty. At some point, you get discharged, and then you go to a completely separate system, and then you fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so who navigates you through that? And so you have to go through two different systems that don't talk to each other. So, so
who I'm convinced gets bonuses if they don't.
Well, that's why I said, how could there not be, hey, look, we know you got a lot on your plate now, but we'd like you to come to an orientation that's going to kind of show you the road that's in front of you and introduce you to people and give you resources to help. And we know you might not be too interested in it today, and we got that, but we need to, why isn't that there? That would seem to be like 101 for me. And then one of the things Patty Horan looked at an Army doctor and said, why am I doing this? My husband has given part of his brain for this country, and he's going to struggle to live, okay? Why am I the one charting the course to get him the best care the country has to offer? Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, no. And this is it. You know, and I hate to be the ass in this, and hopefully if someone's listening, they're going to call in and be upset with what I got to say just now, but bottom line is the DOD doesn't care. And I know that's like the what?
Yeah, what?
No, the DOD, the Department of Defense, does not care about its people that get out. They don't care. They don't care about their troops. And if Mattis heard that, he would probably throw something at me. Because that guy cares more than anybody I've ever met. But as an organization, they don't care. And I get that from Will Contini, woman told me one, you know, it resonated in my head a long time ago, was if people cared, they put forth action to change things. They would be concerned and they would fix it. So thus by your actions, it's that whole thing of your actions speak louder than your words. Apply it to this. If the DOD and the Veterans Administration cared, we wouldn't have Patty going out looking for the best care for her husband, because that would already be done. Because they care. That's what people do when they care. If I care about you, you're my friend, I do things. You don't say, oh, I call you up and go, hey, Mac, I'm just letting you know that I care. I care. And then hang up and then go with my life.
Right.
And then call you back the next day, Mac, I'm still caring.
Thinking about you.
Hey, thanks for the Hey, thanks for the Karen, guys.
Yeah.
I really appreciate the Karen. But I need a little bit of, I need help. You know, that's what they need to do. Stop caring so much and help.
Yeah, you know? There's a couple sayings that I live with, which is, it's nice when you tell me you love me. It's better when you show me. And then the other thing I got out of a book of poetry, and don't judge me for saying this, but it says, think not that you can direct the course of love. For love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. And that means if I say I love you, you're going to be able to tell by the shit that I do, by my actions, right?
Right.
Love directs your course.
By the things I do.
Right, by the things I do, not that I...
The time I spend with you, everything.
Right.
I'm really surprised. I thought you were a lot closer. You really. Wow. I'm really kind of.
No. It's the truth. Can you imagine if your husband was shot in the head and you look and you say, okay, so where do we go from here? Well, he'll be medically.
And they get the hunched shoulders.
Yeah, we will medically discharge him, and then the VA will take care of him. And like, what's the next part of his treatment? Well, what we do here, and all of a sudden you're like, what in the hell are you saying to me? Are you telling me that?
Sure.
So what she did was, and this is where organizations like Semper Fi Fund come in. Patty flew around the country to go see the preeminent brain injury clinics that dealt with, you know, the different surgeries and the physical therapies and the things you had to do to get Pat to be who he is today. And he'll tell you, without her, I'd be staring out a window someplace drooling. That would be my life.
But
without her.
The sad thing is, Max, she did that on her own dime.
Well, that's where Semper Fi Fund comes in. And that's what, you know, the woman that started Semper Fi Fund out of Camp Pendleton in 2002 and 2003, I mean, are literally angels on the planet. Because this is the shit that they were seeing, and their reaction was not only no, but hell no. Okay? Not only no, but hell no. I'll tell you, in fact, when we were in North Carolina, that kind of attitude, Dave Furness, Major General type, told a story about a swing set. He has a daughter with special needs, and she loves to swing. And they didn't have a swing near her home. And so... the wife of a nameless general officer heard the story and said, oh, I'll fix that, and called the housing people, and they said, yeah, we can't do that. She said, okay, thank you. Called up Lowe's and had them deliver and set up a swing set. Boom, on government property. Oh, so Furness is a brigadier general. He gets called into a meeting with the commandant, the assistant commandant, and two other lieutenant generals and the Marine Corps lawyer. And he's like, and he's working on Capitol Hill for, you know, our head lobbyist. And he's like, oh, it must be some kind of personnel issue that involves him. Okay, they sit down. And so he sits down, puts his notebook down, and, like, looks up. Commandant says, we're here to talk about the swing set. What? Yeah, but it was that attitude of women that say, I'm not having that. Like, don't tell me, no, you can't do it. Okay? I don't want to hear that. And organizations like Semper Fi Fund stood up and made Pat Horan's journey back possible by financing Patty Horan's trips around the country to go talk to people so that she could plan her husband's rehabilitation because nobody else was fucking doing it.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing.
Well, yeah. Why? Why? I just don't. It's like in this world and everything, like, what?
Yeah.
You tell the story and what? No, this can't be. It can't be happening. It is happening. And it, like I said, and she's an officer wife. They have, you know, they understand it more and they're treated. There is no, you know, just because of whatever rank you are or whatever else, it doesn't matter. They treat you all the same, like shit. And now I'm not going, again, I say that as there are probably great people out there, but as a whole organization, it's broken. It's flawed.
Yeah, when you hear this story, right, there's not one shred of it made up. It's it's the truth. And probably if she was here telling it, she would be able to pile on some more stuff about things that she got told. Well, you know, Pat needs this, but we don't do that. We don't have that capability. Well, who has it? They have it at the University of Chicago, but, you know, we don't have a relationship with them.
Not covered.
Yeah, so it's not covered. So, oh, really? Okay. And so she went and she got their analysis of his brain injury, what the treatment plan ought to be, and came back and said, "Do you do this?" "No, we don't. Okay, then you got to pay for it. And they paid for it, and he went. But yeah, it's kind of, I mean, you hear the story, you're like, holy shit, why don't we have an orientation to get them going? Why don't we put them in touch with mentors, women who've been down that road, to say, okay, hey, it's going to be okay, but it's going to be long, and these are things you got to do, and I'll help you as much as I can. You know, that kind of shit. So, anyway. Anywho, another email. Enchiladas. Swanson had enchiladas, too. Let me just tell you this. My dad used to eat not only enchiladas, but he used to eat tamales that were made by Swanson's. He would put them in the oven. He would put them in the oven. And he would eat them like they were a delicacy. Yeah, they came in like a rectangular, kind of a narrow tray. And I was not so fired up about the enchiladas as I was about Swanson's chicken, turkey, and the Salisbury steak. How much sodium you think was in that Salisbury steak, Mike?
Oh, probably a jar of salt. Yeah.
You could cure like 50 salamis with the salt that was in a single Swanson's Hungry Man dinner. That thing was awesome. I'm getting emails about the NFL. Did you guys watch? I did not. I can't. Mike,
I don't watch the NFL.
Mike's Cowboys played. Actually, Mike's Cowboys played my 49ers last night. But
I don't watch the NFL.
Yeah, but you know, again, I was talking about it earlier, Mike. At the end of the season, they sat down and said, okay, we got a whole off season to work on this thing. So that when we open the season, our preseason, next August, the headline isn't, the pictures aren't, NFL players kneeling, and the president hand just feeding it to us. That cannot be what happens next August. All right, let's get on it, boys. What do you think the headline is today? What do you think the pictures are? Stupid. The NFL is a shit show. And they deserve everything they get from pissed off people like me and that are all over the country that say, yeah, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, so, anyway. Done.
Here's another question. Mac, I'm a relatively new listener. I just heard you mention Botox shots. I've heard that they're used for different things relative to traumatic brain injuries. Would you mind asking your guests to explain? Mike's explained it before, but Mike, the floor is yours. Could you explain the Botox and how it works and what you use it for?
First of all, I'm not a guest.
Well, he called you a guest, okay? I know he's not a guest. That's what he called you.
Jeez, man, what the hell's going on? So the Botox shots, what they do is they deaden the nerves that create or sustain headaches due from, you know, in this case, in my case, what works is because of a brain injury. So, and it's not for everybody. You got to go again, talk to your doctor, get referred to a neurologist, and then go through a series of training tests and look and stuff. But, they have had great reports that they stop headaches from coming on, cluster and migraines. And I mean, it's short lived, but it's still, you can deal with it. You can cope with it.
So when you say when you say short lived, what do you mean?
It's every 3 months.
Okay, so every ninety days.
For the rest of your life.
Okay, every 90 days, and so, but if you go that route, you're not taking all the medications, yes?
Right. So in my case, I was taking all these anti-seizure medications that would stop the headaches from coming on. And they were working. The problem was all this anti-seizure medication was making me a zombie. I had no desire to do anything. You know, it's just like, and I couldn't even tell you what day it was. I mean, I was so, like, out of it. It just made you a different person. Because, you know, and then they'll tell you, like, you need, and then what really got me was when my neurologist sat down, he goes, what are you on? So we sat and talked about it. He goes, they put you on that? And this is the VA. This is our good old VA, you know, put me on these anti-seizure medications. And then my one neurologist, the neurologist is like, good God, you know, this pill, Mike, these pills that they put you on, these are for severe epileptic patients. They have epilepsy. You know, this makes no sense to me. Yes, and there's some journals that in some rare cases that it prevents, but taking all of this different types of anti-seizure medication was just, I mean, it was taking away who you really are. I mean, because all it does is it's like ADHD medicine. It's just, right. It just makes you so like, you know, that, yeah, you don't have attention deficit disorder, but, or you're not hyper anymore, but you're not really human either. You're just kind of existing. So the Botox, 35 shots starting right between the eyes, and then they go around the scalp, all around your head, and then into your neck, your back of your neck. I'm telling you, it's so relaxed. I mean, like this morning I woke up and you're this clear, because unless you live with headaches, if you don't understand what they go through, and it's really not like a headache, like you take Advil for it. This is not one of those. This is headaches where you wake up in the morning, you got this sharp pain in the back of your head. You can't move around. It feels like your brain, feeling is like my brain is got, it's small inside your head, so it moves around. So it feels like anytime you move your head quickly, you feel the sharp pain, like it's sliding around, which it's not, but it feels like it. It's like it's slamming in your skull. So you take everything slow. You can't look at anything bright. But you have this haze. Everything you look at is hazy. It's just, you got to go slow. You can't have anybody talk really fast because you can't pick up. I mean, it's just a horrible feeling. And you do that every day. So that's the problem with it. And then when they come on, so I had cluster headaches, you know, and I had associated nosebleeds with it. So now I'm going to do some stuff too. So,
hey, what's a cluster headache, Mike?
A cluster headache is actually, say they're worse than migraines, which I was like, oh, yay, great. so happy. I mean, I thought migraines was the worst, but
right, so
no, thank you for the great news that, you know, that cluster headaches are actually worse. But cluster headaches take place like in the center of your head and they radiate out, and they never really go away. You can deaden them, but they come back, and when they come back, they're even stronger. And it cluster headaches, when I get cluster headaches, I can't even open my eyes. I can't have anybody talk to me, because any kind of, except the pain is any information, when you're absorbing something, when you're looking at something, you're looking at books on a bookshelf, and you're looking at them, it hurts to look at them, because your brain is like taking in like the size, the shape, the numbers, the colors, and you're processing that. That hurts. When people talk to you, you're getting information when they're, you just don't want to be around people. You don't want to look at things. You know, so it's a shitty place to live, man.
Right. And you go, and you were talking about that. You were talking about, in fact, somebody sent me an email about it. It was chilling for them to hear you say it, but the fact that the pain is so enormous, and it wouldn't go away, that were it not for the fact that you were married and had a kid that you would consider taking your own life?
Consider, yeah, it was my number one option. I mean, there's no, to have no one in your life, you know, that really, I mean, to have nothing to look forward to, that's why these guys, I, it just saddens me to hear that, you know, another friend of mine takes his life or someone takes his life. You're like, you know, why? I get it. The pain sucks. But you know what? It's only temporary. One day, so you look forward to like the days you're pain-free. Those are great days. You change your attitude to look forward to like, oh man, I can't, you know, let's enjoy this day because I'm pain-free. Let's go do something. Let's go to the movies. Let's go out. Let's go, you know, and you look forward to those days and you hold on to those days and cherish those days. But yeah, I mean, the thought of if I didn't have people in my life that cared about me like that, I mean, it's just, you know, what do you got to look forward to? Oh, yeah, tomorrow, great, more migraines and cluster headaches. And the day after that, more migraines and cluster headaches. For the rest of my life, you know, I'd love to be another 30 years. 30 years of that? Oh, yeah, that sounds wonderful. You know, and people tell me, you know, I've heard this before, they're like, well, so that's not an option. It is an option, people. It is. It's a viable option. And I know that kind of sounds, you know, dark and crazy to say that, but it is an option. And as long as you keep believing and you're in that world that, no, it's not an option, then you don't understand what they're going through. It is a very viable option. And it's on the plate all the time. You know, so you have to change the way, one, that you perceive that. It's not a social taboo, you know, taking your life. It's a viable option. And that's scary to say that, but you don't understand because you're not in that type of pain. You know, again, when you have nothing to look forward to other than pain-ridden days, then boys and girls, I'm here to tell you, it is the number one option. You know? And I think there'll be more of it. I think what it comes down to is people are afraid to do it.
Right.
You know, the fear that this is the end. You know, that's a scary thought. But I think what happens is when the realization of every day is going to be pain ridden with, you know, anguish outweighs the fear, then they execute it. Or like we've said before, when you start consuming alcohol to try and escape the pain.
Ugh.
And the alcohol skews the way you think, and the alcohol affects your judgment and your decisions, then they do it. And I think in a lot of those cases, if you could talk to them afterwards, they'd be like, you know, I didn't really mean to do it. It was the alcohol. Or it was the other drugs or whatever it was. You know, they escaped reality. But, yeah, it's, you know, and I love hearing stories like Patty's, because, you know, again, if she wasn't in his life, imagine what his life would be like.
Yeah.
It's just, it's horrible to think that. If he'd still be with us.
And if he was, what would be his quality of life?
Yeah. I mean, we've all, I'm a do not resuscitate my will. If I was injured and I was on life support systems, I don't want to live a life like that.
Right.
That's quality of life. And people, that's an acceptable thing, right?
Right.
We can accept that. Oh yeah, we can respect it. And we actually, people execute that. Our loved ones. If they are, do not, you know, do what, they're on life support, we sign documents to pull them off life support and let them have their dignity back and let them die a peaceful death. And we accept that. But we shame and taboo suicide. It's the same damn thing. Their quality of life sucks.
And then even worse, relative to the VA, is like, for instance, Mike, just tell what happened when you brought up Botox to the VA. So here's
here's
a possible, if it's not bad enough, here's a possible solution to my problem.
Yeah. When I brought that up, when I was talking to him and I said, you know, I've read about these journals about Botox and helping, headache people that have suffered injuries with their brain and stuff. Can we explore that? And I got it's not even in their playbook. They don't even look at it, or they were shaming it like it's taboo medicine. It's like, we don't even go there. And it's like, wait a second. You're making fun of the fact that this is actually working in cases, but yet you're okay with pumping antidepressants and and stimulants or psychotic medications in patients that don't even really deserve it. You're okay with that. But this is to you is, you know, taboo kind of practicing medicine. This is not on the charts. That's what you're saying to me.
Not going there. Sorry, bud.
Yeah. I feel rain on my back and it's warm and you're telling me it's raining.
Yeah. No shit. So it's but it is amazing. And when people you tell them stories like that and they don't, like, come on, that can't be true. Oh, it can be. It straight up can
be.
And then you listen to somebody like Patty and you're like, and I remember when I interviewed him, he was talking about, you know, trying to find purpose in his life and what do I do for the rest of my life? I'm not just going to sit in this house. I got to do something. And, all those issues. And you think, shouldn't we be, you know, turning every apple cart over to find those solutions? Why are they doing it on their own? And it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating. And as Mike said, you know, we're sure there's good people that work at the VA and all that. However, God damn it, man. Get your shit together.
Well, it's, you know, my buddy that's lives up in Kansas that Bob helped out with his back injury and stuff, right. And he's been trying to get his service connected for years, you know, because he injured his back in the Marine Corps in an injury. And the VA said, no, it's not service connected. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. So he had to go pay. He paid out of his own pocket to get the surgery, you know, to get the fix done. And then finally, after years and years and years of fighting, they came back and said, okay, yes, it is service connected. So they granted him that. And then in the program, there's an opportunity to get some of that reimbursed of what you paid, you know, out of your own pocket. And he went to go get that done, and now he's in that fight. And, you know, you were talking about it. He's like, you got to be kidding me that here they finally grant me back service connection to the day of my last day of active duty, so there's no gap. But, yeah, they have a program where they reimburse a portion of whatever I paid. And, you know, it's actually active in there, and they can do it. And now I went to go apply to that, and they're telling me no to that because, you know, some stupid I didn't get done or that. You know, it's like, are you fucking kidding me? Where is the logic? What are you doing? You can't look at me and tell me that you're doing that. You know, this is why I get so upset, because I think they do it on purpose. And people are like, no, they're not malicious like that. It has to be. Because a personal common sense would look at it and go, yeah, you're right. You are service connected. We made a mistake. Okay, so you got this done on your own prior to waiting for our decision, because it was 5 years later, you know. And so what do you want us, you know, so what do you expect the guy to do? Live a shitty life for the last 5 years and wait for you? And maybe it could come. So he does it on his own. But, yeah, you have a program in it instituted that says you can do this, this, and this if, you know, and now I'm trying to do it, and now you're telling me no again? You're telling me this ain't malicious? Like, what? Are you just stupid then?
Are you trying to get me to snap? Do you want me to snap on you? Because there's no way that you can say that you're here to support me and then behave like this. There's no way. I don't.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So just when you hear Mike say something like, the DOD doesn't care, or, I mean, again, and we're not DOD haters. You know, we made our living there and love, you know, love much to do. But when you hear these stories, and these are not, we didn't go looking, we didn't go doing some investigative story to find out some nuanced oversight or failure by the VA. That we didn't do that. This is low ripe, yeah. Right in front of your mug fruit. Right in front of your mug fruit. Anyway. What's the
And every time I go to the VA, when I do go, it usually turns into me getting upset and then me being told that you need to calm down. We know that you've been diagnosed with PTSD. This has nothing to do with PTSD, boys and girls. This is just how you treat people. When I get treated like shit, I get upset. When I get treated with disrespect, I get upset. It doesn't have nothing to do with PTSD. I've always been this way. And everybody's this way. If I talk down to you continually or talk to you like you're a goddamn idiot, you would be upset with me too. You know, it's just how we should never, ever treat another human being. You know, and that was my biggest thing in the Marine Corps is, you know, I was a big proponent. If nothing else, the one thing I can look back and say that I did was I always looked for yes. You know, if someone came to me with a problem, it was never too hard, never too far, you know, never a bridge too far to try and get there. It was always, I can't do that for you, but let's call this guy. Let's do this. I always tried to look for the yes. You know, because I think the people that look for the yes separates, that's the hard thing to do, man. So that separates you as a human being. When you go an extra mile, and you do something out of your way to help somebody, where it could have been easily just no.
Easily. You know, we had this thing for me in Iraq and Afghanistan, but we were together in Afghanistan, but nobody that worked for me in our combat operations said, you're not allowed to say no. There's only one guy who says no in this regiment, and you ain't him. So when they call you and they want to do something, their job's harder than yours, okay? Because they're further towards the pointy end of the spear. You do what they want. If you got an issue with it, you take it up with them later at some other more appropriate time. But you don't say no. If I hear that you've said no, you'll lose your job and you'll pay for it too. And you won't walk out of here transferred. You'll walk out of here with something. I wouldn't even say what I was going to say, but I was going to say with something hanging out of your ass. And be my leg or bone or something like that. Let me read you a couple emails. Pat Horan has used Botox with some success. And then this is from Bob Nielsen. And the VA's attitude towards solutions for epileptic seizures and medical marijuana is the same as Botox. Yeah, so it's TBI related epileptic seizures, and those were the drugs that they were giving Mike. It's not a small deal. It's a big fucking deal. So if you were in multiple IED encounters, right? And whether you were actually concussed or not, I interviewed a woman whose husband committed suicide. He was in one of those Buffalo vehicles, Mike. So his job was to go find IEDs and deal with them. 9 different IEDs fucking exploded on him. And he committed suicide because his head would not stop fucking hurting. And he never filled out his benefit shit, and she got nothing. She got nothing. And it was fucking horrible. So, and this is after he was discharged. He's medically discharged, and you have X number of days to fill out whatever life insurance it is. He didn't do it. And then, anyway. So stuff like that. And it's heartbreaking shit.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking shit. So anyway. How's the weather in Granbury?
But see, again, if we were an institution of yes, and if it would happen and he wouldn't have filled out disabilities, someone in some position would have said, you know what? No, this guy, sir, just because he did do a clerical thing, an administrative thing, doesn't erase our responsibilities to him nor his family, and then they just do it.
Right. Here's a signature.
Yeah, that's an institution that gives a fuck about his people. Not an institution that says, sorry, our policy is he has to fill this out. And since he passed away before he filled it out, I'm sorry, can't help you. No. An institution that gives a shit about its people would have said, you know what? With this case right here, yes, I understand what you're going through. Don't worry about it. Shit, I'll sign his name. It's done. And people say, well, that's against the law. There is no law.
It's your duty.
It's only against the law if you get convicted. If you go, again, I've said before, there are some things that if I was a juror for and someone came and said, you know, you're going to be a juror and we're taking this lady and her husband or her family to court because they forged her signature, and her husband signed a death penalty because he was blown up 9 times and he committed suicide. But she forged it, so she broke the law. Dude, it would be very, very hard for me not to run over the prosecuting attorney outside the courtroom. You know, nor the anybody else that I sided with. I mean, it's like, what is wrong? Where did we lose our humanity?
You know, Mike, let me tell you real quick. I want to say there's two interviews that you'll see on Almarine Radio that deal with this shit. And one is a woman, her name is Shauna, and I can't remember her last name. Her husband went over there and was a medic, okay? How medics are ever right in the head after that, if they're with the unit that fights, is beyond me. Because look, it's not like an EMT. Well, they're just an EMT. No, they're not. EMTs deal with people they don't fucking know. They don't try to save their friends, okay, with mixed success, okay? So anyway, he comes home, and he's clearly now got mental health issues. He moves them up to Idaho because he doesn't want us, when he gets out, because he doesn't want them to get attacked. He then isolates them electronically because he knows that ISIS is listening. So she ultimately leaves him. He commits suicide. And so John Dowd, who resigned, a couple months ago as the president's attorney, he took the VA to court saying, this guy's brain got fucked up in the war. The reason he didn't fill out these papers is because of his combat injuries. You need the fucking pay. She needs the education benefits. And he won. And so he came on and talked about it. He said, hey, look, if you've been denied these benefits, don't go quietly. Okay, because most of the time, these guys are responsible people. They do the right thing. And when they got broken and they didn't fill out certain documents and she got nothing, right, that's part of the injury. And as Mike's saying, if you give a shit, you step into that and say, when it's gray, we're all over it. Okay? When they don't rate it, that's one thing. When time elapsed other bullshit, fuck that. We're gonna set this right. You're gonna be able to go to college. You know, and again, not only that, but the living stipend, and that's a big deal with your GI Bill, so that she could go back to school and have it paid for. The living stipend, so that she's not having her kids in daycare or trying to work and all that shit. And again, these are guys who've been damaged or killed, you know, because of what they encountered in war. And it's just so fucking frustrating. And so, another widow who got no benefits, and this is the guy in the Buffalo who kills himself. Because too much time had lapsed, then there was nothing they could do for her. I know, that's fucking wrong as fuck. Right? Wrong as fuck.
Yeah. So there's a special place in hell for those people.
Right. Right. Anyway, but let me just tell you, as irritating as this is, to see two guys doing physical therapy with new arms because of an arms transplant, talk about making your day easy. Holy shit, man. It was awesome. So I just want to thank Bob Nielsen again for taking me. So anyway. All right, man, what do you got going on this weekend? Anything?
No, I'm teaching a class tomorrow. Taking it easy.
Who are you teaching?
License to carry for a few people.
Nice. Nice. Now, is that your, yeah. is that your, are you going to develop that into a business or?
No, I don't want to do that for a business. These are people that usually I meet, I know, and I, cause I'm very peculiar, I'm very particular on who I want or I, cause I talk, you know, and I talk to them and get to know them and I want to know the reasons why they're carrying it, and, you know. Because like I tell people, it's an immense responsibility that you need to understand what the fallout is, you know, not just carrying a gun. You think you know that type of thing. And so we go the I like to go the extra mile a little bit and talk to them and train with them and teach them more than what's necessary.
So, but the way you set it up, you must enjoy the hell of it out of it too. Yes. The right people teaching
yeah,
good stuff.
It's fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Good people trying to learn, be better. Yeah.
All right.
It's a lot of fun.
All right, man. First of all, thanks for the visit. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you.
Yeah. Thanks for getting my blood rate up. My heart
pressure up. Sorry about that.
All right. I'll talk to her.
There you have it. Michael Musselman here on a Friday edition. Hold on, let me read you an email. My first instinct when I hear you guys talk like this is to say, I don't believe that. But I know you all would never lie about these kind of things. It's pretty discouraging, especially when every time we see a VA official on television, all they do is talk about how they're going to do better, how they're going to do more. The stories you guys tell are so fucked up, I'm even pissed. That's why you should donate to organizations called like the Semper Fi Fund. Because they help make these things right. No shit. They help make them right. So, my thanks to the head chef for coming on. My thanks to the prince for coming on, Michael Musselman. And as always, my thanks to you for listening and supporting All Marin Radio, both financially and also by listening and downloading the program. So, you know, and again, to me, All Marin Radio is going to, I hope, start doing more stuff, right? We need to do more outreach to people who've experienced trauma and say, look, we're veterans, all right? And We want to tell you that you can do it. You can do it. And ease their pain. The other thing, I'm going to advocate for some kind of program that sits down with, families, spouses, after somebody gets wounded and gives them the resources that they need to go ahead and get the best care that country has to offer. They deserve that. High life, man. You gotta love it. For those who didn't come back, we owe it to them to live better. So that's why I play the song as a daily reminder. Get after it. All right. On a Friday, All Marin Radio. Don't touch that dial. Over and out. Have a great weekend.